What's cracking, everybody? Money Smart Guy Matt Cipolla here for the Gotcha Book Tour here in Miami. So we started in Chicago, we've been to Atlanta, we've been to Memphis, we've been to Orlando, and now we are in Miami. Was crack-a-lackin', everybody. Money Smart Guy Matt Cipolla here, hailing to you from Dallas, Texas. Yes, that video was from Miami, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, and Hollywood area combined. Just came back from the Gotcha Book Tour over there this past weekend, and back now in Dallas, Texas here to host this Seven Figure Squad podcast here with my host, Milton Alvarez, in studio. And we have a show here for you, we have about five or six topics here. So resident doctor, we're going to be covering here, a resident doctor doing her thing. Becoming a full-fledged doctor, but she's right now in residency. But she's going to crack down her budget, and we're going to see what she has left after her responsibilities. Everyone should have a home, this presidential candidate says. Everybody should have a home, have their debt paid off, and have a $10,000 a month income. Everybody in America, how would you love that? We're going to be covering this. Warren Buffett cut this particular stock from the Berkshire Hathaway portfolio. And by the way, he loves life insurance. But he cut this insurance stock from his portfolio, and that stock immediately dropped 51% in one day. We're going to discuss why. Wife spends down husband's savings account without his permission to pay off her student loan debt. We're going to be reacting to that video. Milton, you got a couple of topics here on health and wellness.
Bro, I'm about to turn my parts of this podcast into Myth-Busting Wednesdays, man. There's a lot of
Myth-Busting Wednesdays. Okay.
There's a lot of myths out there, a lot of misinformation that many of us have carried on for so many years,
like that.
Man. And one of them is for a lot of people who are in the fitness world or who are working with a coach or a trainer, or you are a trainer yourself, is does 6 meals a day really boost your metabolism and what you should focus on to meet your fitness goals instead? Okay. And the second thing, you know, many people always ask you, do you have what it takes to win? But at the end of the day, you need to ask yourself, what is considered winning in your personal life, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and what does it come with? What kind of sacrifice does it come with? And Pitbull shares one of the keys to success in life, coinciding with short steps and long vision. And are you willing to step into that and sacrifice what you need to sacrifice to get to that point?
And here, halfway through the show, we're going to be taking some callers if we have time, right?
Yes, correct.
If we have time, we're going to take some callers. People are starting to interact with our podcast, which is awesome. A lot of people are getting some traction with what we have to say and getting our thoughts on things. Not to say we're the end-all, be-all, but we're just a different way of helping you think for yourself. I also want to say thank you to all of our listeners here. We're going to be sharing some comments from our YouTube channel. So if you want to go to our YouTube channel and review some of our podcasts we've done in the past, we just might feature you in your comment on a particular subject that we've done. So if we can go my screen real quick, and maybe we can show some of them. Here's some comments from our YouTube channel. It says, hey, Matt, you're a man of faith, as am I, and we have the same name. Like, his name is Matthew. Okay, what's the chance of getting you to mentor me? So very, very good question, which, by the way, this Thursday, if you are unaware of it, we have a Cigars, Wealth, and Whiskey event happening in website here. So we have a Cigars, Wealth, and Whiskey event. Hang out with us. It's a one-person day event here in Plano, Texas. It's $50 for a ticket. If you want to hang out with our special VIP section with myself and a couple of my celebrity guest whiskey connoisseurs and cigar aficionados, and we're going to have a roundtable discussion to coach and mentor you to the next level. And it's $150, but you in a special VIP section. So $50 to get in, network with other attendees. But if you want to have specific conversation, myself and the VIP guests I've invited, $150 to get into the VIP section. It's kind of nominal to get in there. I'm thinking about this.
Is it, for the people watching right now who are curious about it, is it late to sign up and get into the VIP section?
No, it's not. No, it's not too late. So go to events.livingmoneysmart.com. We'll put the link here in the comment section. Events.livingmoneysmart.com. It is not too late because people are asking for mentorship. People are asking for guidance. Yeah. And guess who's going to be there too as well? Milton will be there too as well.
Yeah.
Lighten it up, so to speak. And
I bought my ticket.
Yeah, you bought.
Look, I bought a ticket.
Well, you bought a ticket.
I bought a ticket.
Check you out, man. Yeah. Check you out. Appreciate that. Okay. Yeah. IG and Reel and YouTube short that's just taken off on our YouTube channel is this reaction to car dealerships. Remember, we did this a few podcasts ago.
Yeah.
About what car dealerships don't want you to know because people are constantly just getting new cars. The second largest purchase for a lot of people in their entire life is cars. And this is a major depreciating asset. And also one of the largest things that you borrow on that instead of, let's say, buying a $50,000 car with interest over a 4 or 5 year period, you're actually paying $80,000 for the car and a depreciating asset. So we did a reaction to that. And here's some of the reactions we got. I've owned 4 cars in my 28 years of driving, all Toyotas. They died around 350,000 miles. We'll never buy another car. And what was our comment to that? Our comment was, how come people are buying brand new cars just because it's 40, 50,000 miles?
Yeah.
People think, oh man, it's old. It's old. Yeah. Well, this person here on our YouTube channel, thank you for your comment, IQLIS19. They're driving cars up to 100,000, 200,000, in this case, 350,000 miles. Why buy a brand new car? That's our justification. You can redirect that money back into your savings and investments or into your own business to help you accumulate more cash. Remember, I shared with you, I was a Jiffy Lube hood tech.
I recall.
And that was my observation. He says, yeah. I worked as a Jiffy Lube hood tech as well, and he has 10,000% accurate on the engine bay statement. Reason why? Because we pop open hoods of a American made car leaking. I was like, how many oil changes is this? Right? We look in the odometer, first one. We pop open a hood of a Toyota or a Honda, say, oh, it's clean, no leaks. Yeah. We look in there. How many miles in this car? 100,000 miles. So fellow Jiffy Lube Hood Tech, thank you, Ryler Richter 804 for your comment. A couple of things too as well, you know, in support of what we're doing. Thanks for y'all. Do, man, keep it coming. 100% ownership. This is from our last podcast. 100% ownership, having values as a man, being provider, protector, leadership for men. So awesome. What's your thoughts on these comments? People are responding back to our podcast.
You know, sometimes when you're involved in a specific realm of your career or you start doing something just to bring some light to specific topics and you don't really see what people are reacting to, how they're reacting to these topics. So when you have commentary on what you're doing and it's actually impacting people's lives, it's somewhat nice to be able to read that and hear that.
It's good. Yeah. And by the way, there's other comments there too as well. People agree with us, you don't agree with us. We welcome both.
Yeah.
So let's jump into our first topic here of a resident doctor doing her thing to become a medical professional. And she's done with medical school and now she's a resident. And we've always talked about on this show, if you want to get ahead financially, if you want God to bless you, you have to be willing to do with the least, so therefore you can be blessed with the most. So what is this young lady, what is this up-and-coming doctor who's in residency right now, what is she doing with her finances? Let's take a look at this clip.
I did my paycheck with me as a 26-year-old resident doctor living in South Florida.
My monthly paycheck after taxes is $4,081.
She got a budget going on.
First thing that I do every month is pay all of my bills. I start by paying my rent, which is $2,300. For electricity, I pay $75. My water bill is $90. Damn, for internet, I pay $40. Renter's insurance, $15.
Renter's insurance.
My phone bill is $80. My car is paid off, so I only have to pay car insurance, which is $100. And for gas, I budget $80.
In terms
of my daily living, I budget for groceries, $300.
For
dining out, $150. Wow. My subscriptions, $40. And then I budget $150 for miscellaneous. In terms of my health, I like to budget for my co-pays and medications, $80. My gym membership, which is currently ClassPass, I pay $90. Mm-hmm. And then for my physician's disability insurance, I pay $100.
It gives you
access to my student loans. I'm currently paying $300. So my total expenses prior to savings come out to $3,990. What I have left over from that is approximately $91. Yeesh. I'm currently not contributing anything to my Roth IRA. And all the money that I have left over, which is $91, I put towards my emergency fund.
You know, I didn't see a lot of there was entertainment, having out, you know, having fun, going out, having a good time. I didn't see that part. Did I miss?
No. I mean, okay. I would assume that's $150 for miscellaneous.
Miscellaneous. I mean,
and that's month, right?
Yeah, it's monthly. It's a lot more. Well, dinner in one weekend is worth $150. Yeah. So, by the way, would you all love to have my budget in terms of the spreadsheet that I use to help my wife and I budget our finances? If you'd like to have an example of that, please put in a comment section budget, not in the live chat, but also in the comment section when we post this video, put budget. And maybe next week we come back to this podcast and say, hey, go to this website, download my podcast, my budget for free. But if that's a value to put budget, because a lot of people just unnecessarily spend a lot of money without even knowing it. How fast is it for you to spend cash? And, you know, I mean, back in the day, we used to feel cash in our pocket.
Yeah.
Today, we don't feel cash in our pocket.
We just have our phones.
Yeah, zip, 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 zip. And so, by the way, good for her for being disciplined. You know, if you are, we were just talking about it this morning. We were just talking about credit because you were just talking about a, by the way, tell us, catch us up to speed. I want you to share everybody what happened to you. That's good news.
It is great news, but it was also scary news if you're not disciplined. So 4 years ago, when Matt started inviting me out to his events, and he was like, dude, you should come out to Vegas with us. You should come out to Orlando, Miami, all these places so you can, you know, work with our people and, you know, your clients can use you. I mean, sure, not a problem. But then, you know, flights, hotels, Ubers, food, all these things started piling up. And unfortunately, during that time, I wasn't financially in the place that I wanted to be. So my ass started applying for credit cards. And because I still had some remaining student loan debt, a high payment for my card note at the time, I still had a mortgage. My credit wasn't that great. And, my mid-20s, I was kind of late on some bills because I couldn't afford it. USC Gym wasn't paying me enough.
Yeah.
So I applied for a Southwest card. I applied for multiple cards. I can actually get some points. And I got denied for every single one of those cards. So yesterday, just for shits and giggles, around like 11 p.m.
So 4 years later.
Yeah, 4 years later. Yeah. 4 years later.
Because you got your finances together. You start being more money conscious, more money smart.
Correct. Yeah. So 4 years later, last night, my niece texted me, like, hey, don't forget you have a baptism to show up to in May. And I'm like, all right, let me go on Southwest and book it now before it gets expensive, right?
Yeah.
Because I still want to be frugal with my money and not wait till last minute. Just because I have it, I don't want to use it. Does that make sense? So I went on Southwest, and you know how you pick your flight, your go, and then you return it. All the way at the bottom, it says, if you apply for this card, you get a $200 credit limit, and instead of paying $297, you only pay $90.
Yeah, right. So it's like at the Best Buy or a department store. Like, if you apply now, get 10% off your purchase.
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, let's try. Yeah. So I applied. I have a bad taste with applying for credit cards, so I really don't do it. So I applied, and I put in all my information, personal credit card, right, not business. I applied, implemented all my information, and then I had like a loading screen, loading. It took a lot longer than usual. And it said approved. You've been approved for a $10,000 credit line for Southwest.
Nice.
So that's nice.
Yeah.
But if you don't have discipline for it, because I didn't have that in my mid-20s, which really fucked me over, it's really going to screw you over. So Matt, you were stating something along those lines. I don't know who said it, but it takes what?
Yeah. Yana Van Zandt, she's a life coach. And I remember listening to one of her tapes in the late 90s, early 2000s. She says, to have a big bank account or no big bank account, negative bank account, it's a reflection of your consciousness. But your credit report also is a reflection of your attitude. And oftentimes you look at a credit report, we can sweep it under the rug, I don't owe you, But bro, you know, we know we owe people.
Yeah.
You know, we signed a dotted line, we checked out. We may not have read the small print, but when you go to open up your cell phone bill, AT&T or T-Mobile or whatever case may be, you know you owe the cell phone company money. When you owe the, you set up your utilities for your apartment, for your house, you know you owe monthly that light bill, that electricity bill, that internet bill. And we try to say, okay, we slip in this period of financial laziness, and we don't think we have to pay our bills. And that's a dangerous thing, because you never want to walk around life. You never walk around your long term. You don't want to walk around people, businesses, and have your reputation that you're not paying your bills. Every time we've done a Gotcha Book Tour, everywhere we've gone on the Gotcha Book Tour this last 2.5-3 months, I've hired local videographers in those specific cities and states. And I know going, if I go back, for example, Memphis, I hired him one. We did a good job. I paid him and we did good work together. He did good work for me. I went back to Memphis and I hired him again.
Nice.
I went to Miami and Len is a good guy and he's exactly what he says he is. I pay my bills. And guess what I do? I send him referrals. We go to the DMV area, Washington, D.C. Trey does a great job. He hired a Hoodie as a subcontractor, and they do a good job. I'm constantly going to be working with these guys again. Not only do I do my job in terms of paying them, but also they do a good job being reliable, dependable, putting out quality work. Why? That's a reflection of attitude and discipline. So if you ever wonder why your financial situation is not going the right way, and you're not getting the yeses that you need to be and that you feel that you deserve it, double check that. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, what can I do to take ownership of my financial situation so I can improve just like you did? And I think many more people today, if they take financial ownership of their situation instead of waiting for some savior to financially bail you out, you're going to be much better ahead financially. And oftentimes people think, well, I need to go to get more intelligence. I need to get more smarts. No, you just need more common sense. And so one of the common sense areas of making money is, do I need a college degree or not a college degree? And you got a video here of people thinking that, yeah, unless you are studying to be a doctor like this young lady.
Doctor, lawyer,
lawyer,
scientist.
Lawyer, yeah. Engineer,
yeah.
Scientist, something like that. We call it STEMs, science, technology, education, engineering, math, math or medicine, right? And then I'll add L for legal.
Yeah.
You definitely want to be smart when you, I want to hire a smart lawyer that's been educated. So outside of that, do you really need to go to college? We've got another clip here of this young lady saying, hey, I graduated, I did the part, and then what? Let's take a look at this.
Can anyone explain to me how I have 2 degrees? I have 2 degrees. Oh, and a certificate. A little extra, right? I have a certificate. May not be a master's, but it's something extra along with the 2 degrees, you know? I'm trying to apply for jobs right now. And the thing is that the only person I have responding to me is a man from a tech company saying, hey, you want to answer some customer service problems? You want to answer some customer service calls? No, Bart, I don't want to answer your calls. No offense, but I'm a little more qualified than just to be sitting around answering your customer service calls, Bart, okay?
Okay, we can start right there.
I'm sorry.
So she's experiencing life. Hello?
Yeah.
Right? And so you might be educated, you might have the right certifications, but she said something very key in there. She thinks she's qualified.
Yeah.
She's educated, but she may not be qualified.
She may not have the experience.
And she may not know how to do customer service. And I've been saying this time and time and time again, you know, oftentimes people have this expectation just because of an education or degree or certification that I expect this job or status or salary, but you have to earn that qualification. Many people graduate college. I mean, Suazo was talking about, I got my degree as an engineer, but they weren't hiring me because I wasn't qualified as an engineer.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have a lot of clients that either have college degrees or no college degrees. What's been your feedback as a trainer and boots on the ground?
And when it comes down to that, it's misdirection and poor mentorship when it comes down to a 17, 18 year old, 19 year old trying to figure out which direction to go to. And because of that, there are over 44 million borrowers, man, which makes us what? The second highest consumer debt category in the United States, which is student loan debt. And they're owing over $1.5 trillion as a whole when it comes down to student loans. And for me, I went to school for a couple trades, but I only paid around $8,000 to $12,000 in maybe in my skills and technician skills that I needed to attain what I'm doing right now. Versus I would have went to school for a different category, college, four-year degree, and would have cost me four times the amount. And right now I probably still would have been paying it off and wouldn't have gotten hired. And the thing is also, if you have the skills, if you have a specific skill that you can acquire through a small course, through a trade, through a six-month trade school, there are over 7 million jobs across the entire country based on what the stats say in the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And there's what? I think 6.4 million unemployed people. And most of those unemployed people are people who just graduated college and can't find a job.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I've experienced, at least my first 2 years in college, I did go to college. Mm-hmm. I just dropped out, and I was one of the small percentage that dropped out and didn't get past an associate's because I didn't see the point of it. Even if you are in college, you're not learning the skills that you need in order for you to be attractive to an employer. That's what, which is why you start at the bottom as a bottom feeder. Mm-hmm. But then I think a lot of college students have a lot of pride. And I think, I don't know if it's an ego thing. I don't know what your thoughts are. I'm not sure if it's an ego thing or a pride thing. But, you know, when you're paying $100,000 in student loan debt to get a degree,
yep,
you know, 2 to 4 year degree, and then someone wants to start you off at the bottom, it's almost like a slap in the face because you wasted all that time going to school.
Well, Milton, you've been to our conventions, right?
Yeah.
When you go to our conventions, you're my security. You make sure that everybody's healthy and fed and make sure they're hydrated. We're doing our 2.5 day conferences. Yeah. How much of that audience do you think has a college degree? You have 10,000 people in there. How much of that audience do you think that has a college degree?
A really small percentage.
Okay, but actually, it's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people with a college degree. Yeah. What percent of that has actually student loan debt?
Yeah.
Practically all of them.
Yeah.
We've recruited last year in 2023 over 10,000 people into the Money Smart Movement team. 10,000 people.
Yeah.
How many of them have a college degree and say, it's not enough for me to financially sustain myself? Yeah. 100% of them.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that I'm boots on the ground. We do workshops twice a week on Tuesdays and Saturdays. 100% of the people that come in, they either have a college degree or not have a college degree. 50% of people have a college degree. 50% don't. So one out of two. And 100% of them say, you know what? My college degree is not enough for me to live in this day and age. Whether I have a master's degree, I have a doctor. She's a Dr. Jennifer Lawrence. She's a neurologist. She's excited about establishing her own financial service insurance business. Because her salary as a neurologist simply isn't enough to create generational wealth. Because you can't transfer a job to the kids you have. But you can transfer a business. You can transfer an asset. You just can't transfer a job.
So what I'm translating from what you're saying is, and correct me if I'm wrong, and maybe this might not be the route to take, right? But either A, you keep your job as whatever career you choose, but you live below your means, yep, and that extra money that you have, you put it into a savings, into an IRA, into life insurance policy, and you let it grow slowly, and then you live a comfortable life.
Yeah.
Or B, you keep that career and you figure out a way to turn that career that into some form of business. Mm-hmm. So if you're a doctor, opening up multiple clinics.
Yep.
If you're a kinesiologist, opening up your own practices.
Yep.
If, I don't know, if you're a lawyer, you know, also opening up multiple offices, have, you know, lawyers working under you. So there's a way to keep your career and to monetize it and to expand it into something bigger. But then you have to actually learn new skills, which when it comes down to operations and it comes down to actually running a business.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, to your point, Tim Grover,
yeah,
who is the personal trainer for Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, Dwayne Wade, he was being laughed at because he's Indian. He's being laughed at by his family. Oh, you're going to be a manager at LA Fitness. You'll be a manager at the gym. Well, he decided to go out there, go on a limb, and recruit players from the Chicago Bulls, recruit players from professional sports for him to be their trainer.
Yeah.
Make a long story short, we all know that he eventually finally landed Michael Jordan. He eventually landed Dwayne Wade. He eventually landed Kobe Bryant. Many, many athletes after that. But what did he do? He transitioned that practice into a business. Mm. So became an author. He became a best-selling author. He became a speaker on stage. He's being asked to speak at all these companies. Why? Because he turned that from the job into actually a speaking business, a knowledge business, where he's packaged up his wisdom on how to help people train. And he does personal training just like everybody else.
Yeah.
But just like you, he did what? He monetized his education into knowledge assets. And speaking of monetization, you really need to monetize because guess what got released a couple weeks ago? It was the Consumer Price Index inflation report. And guess what? This entire year, everybody's expecting. Inflation's starting to come down. Inflation's starting to come down. Finally, Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve Chairman, says we can possibly drop interest rates in 2024, not once, not twice, but three times if we see inflation starting to go and trend downward. What it has been until 2 weeks ago. And what happened 2 weeks ago, it popped from 3.2% back to 3.5%. They're expecting it to get below 3% down to the 2.5. And so if I can share my screen here real quick, this is a example of what happens to inflation. So this is 2020, okay? This is a report here from 2020. There's some data to share with you guys. This is pre-pandemic, okay? And then the pandemic hits. Inflation goes down. Why? America needed to print cash. America was in a pandemic mode. But guess what happened to price goods and services after 2020? 21, 22, June, July of 2022, it pops up to 9.1 percent. The chart's not following me here. The screen's not. There it is. 9.1% as a high in June 2022. But where has it been trending? So it's been trending downward. It's been trending downward. Why? Because they started cutting interest rates. And they thought here in 2023, things are starting looking good, 2023, okay, it's going to start really looking good. But what happened here? Let's go here in the last year. Here's what has happened to inflation rates. It's popped back up to 3.5%. It's a little laggy on the, there it is, 3.5% interest rate here the last quarter of 2024. So guess what Jerome Powell is not going to do? Cut interest rates. So for every realtor, homeowner, mortgage loan officer, investor that you're hoping for lower interest rates in 2024, chances are it's not happening. He's dialing back until we see consecutive quarters of inflation trending back down. Right now, it trended back up. So he's asking, Jerome Powell here said in a quote here, says, the recent data has clearly not get. Can I get off the screen? So, the recent data have clearly not given us greater confidence and instead indicate that it's likely to take longer than expected to achieve that confidence.
So let me ask you, for the general population or for the average person trying to learn, you know,
inflation
on this topic, on inflation, yeah, how does this affect them, and or what should they take away from this?
Here's a challenge. I went to go get a burrito, a healthy burrito, onto Freebird.
Yeah.
And listen, I'm 50 years old, but I'm not that old. I'm just curious. For those of you out there watching this, if you go get a burrito, let's say at Chipotle, you go to, what's another place you get a burrito at? Chipotle
Freebird.
Here in Texas is Freebirds, you know.
OMG Tacos is here, big in Texas.
You get a burrito, I got a chocolate chip cookie and a fountain drink.
Yeah.
Okay? How much do you think that should cost? How much do you think that should cost? I mean, I used to spend $8-$9 easy for lunch. How much should a burrito, chicken burrito, a chocolate chip cookie, or maybe even a bag of chips for you guys, and a drink, how much should that cost? Well, I decided to take a picture. Guess what that price ended up to be? $17. So that's what inflation means. $17 for a burrito? $17 for a chocolate chip cookie burrito and a fountain drink? Ridiculous. So many people are out there. We covered last week that Governor Newsom raised minimum wage to $20 an hour. Guess what's starting to happen in California? Fast food restaurants are starting to lay people off. People that used to work at school cafeterias are leaving those school cafeteria jobs and getting jobs at the fast food or places where they're paying $20 a month, $20 an hour for serving burgers and fries. And guess what's happened to the cost of burgers and fries to the average person that's out there? It's going up. This is the cost of inflation. This is what the cost of what's going on in our economy today is affecting the average Joe to keep them from getting the money ahead.
Bro, in early 2009, an average chicken burrito from Chipotle was $4.85, and a combo meal would cost around $7.
Combo
meal, chips, burrito, and a fountain drink. A $10 increase.
You know, there was another viral video out there of a person going to Five Guys.
Yeah.
He has $21 for Five Guys. Burger, fries, and a drink, $21. And so that's what the higher interest rates are causing. This is what politicians are saying people are owed $15-$20 an hour, trying to force entrepreneurs to force pay their employees a higher wage, which what they're going to do is pass on that cost to other people. But the downside is eventually, if nobody wants to work for that restaurant, nobody wants to work for that business, if you can't get people to work for that business, is it worth the risk then for that entrepreneur to set up shop, to set up a restaurant, to risk their money, their energy, their finances, their credit for nobody to help them out? Nobody wants a job because they're leaning on government. Guess what a lot of entrepreneurs and creators and producers are going to do? They're going to set up shop somewhere else, leave this country and say, you know what, it's easier. A good friend of mine who I get my shoes from, guess what he started to do instead of selling shoes here in America? He started selling shoes in Colombia. He's selling shoes
Colombia
overseas. And there's a lot, apparently there's a large sneakerhead community in Southern Latin America.
South America, huh?
Yeah.
Really? Huge. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's massive. All right, let's move on to the next topic. Warren Buffett cut stock from portfolio. I just want to share this. Can we show my screen here? Warren Buffett cuts this stock here. This is disturbing because it involves a company in the life insurance industry. So he cut the stock from his portfolio from Berkshire Hathaway, and the stock dropped 53% in one day. That stock, Globe Life, stock plummeted more than 53% in a single day last week after short seller Fuzzy Panda Research accused the life insurance company of fraud. The claims piled onto the steady, already struggling stock, which already been a long time holding on Warren Buffett's conglomerate Berkshire Hathaway. So if you think about buying, dipping the stock, here are some things you need to know. So here's what went down. Okay, here's what went down. The management team, if you know anything about Warren Buffett, if he's going to invest in a company, he's investing not in a company, he's investing in the people. If he has confidence in the people, he's going to invest in a company. Even if you're nobody or you're somebody, if he doesn't feel you have high strength and values and principles, he's not investing in you. He's pulling his money and putting it somewhere else. Buffett demands a management team's character and trustworthiness when investing. Buffett and his team have an excellent track record of evaluating management, which is a big reason why the conglomerate's long-term success. When Globe Life became the subject of several lawsuits accusing it of misconduct, Berkshire pulled the plug on its investments. Last year, two Globe Life subsidiaries, American Income Life and Arias Agencies, faced a lawsuit accusing them of inappropriate workplace conduct. This includes rampant drug use,
wow,
sexual abuse, and degradation of agents who didn't hit sales targets. Globe Life struggles continued when a former executive claimed he was fired for blowing the whistle on potentially illegal sales practices at the subsidiary. It appears that the accusations were why Berkshire sold its stake in Insure last year. So, bottom line, guys, these guys were sued because some people were saying, you know what, these guys are doing these things illegally. Rumor has it that they were selling life insurance policies to dead people. They're finding fake Social Security numbers and getting the policies issued still. And by the way, usually, guys, this is a big no-no in the life insurance industry. So usually if an agent goes rogue or an agency goes rogue and they write a policy, the life insurance carrier has to underwrite it. They just don't issue a policy just to issue a policy just because at the behest of the insurance agent. They do research. They do a Social Security check. They do a DMV check to see your driving record. They do a pharmaceutical check to see if you're taking any drugs involving mental health or a heart disease or cancer to make sure you're not lying on the application. They do things to make sure they do their due diligence and investigate whether or not we should issue somebody a $250,000 policy, a $500,000 policy, or $1 million policy. Because if the client says gets issued the policy, and the client's only paying $70 a month or $100 a month, but the insurance company's on the hook for $1 million policy, that could be a huge loss over many, 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 many policies. It could be a massive loss to the insurance carrier. Well, guess what these guys were doing allegedly? They were doing just that. They were doing a lot of fraud, and they're taking a lot of shortcuts. And they're trying to leverage the life insurance industry for the opportunity that it is. And guys, I'm in the insurance industry. There are good agents, there are bad agents. Sadly, one of the bad agents and agencies have been exposed. And if a guy like Warren Buffett is willing not to tolerate this or not willing to stick with them for the long term and cuts this stock, that should be potentially a reflection of what this insurance company is all about. I put it on Twitter. I put it on social media the other day. I said, AIL agents, Globe Life agents, reach out. Because imagine the good agents that are at Globe Life, the good agents that weren't part of this riffraff, they weren't part of this mismanagement, they weren't part of this drug use and poor behavior just because your agents don't hit sales targets. They're probably looking for a new home. They're probably looking for a new place to not have their CEO and their president and one of the top guys be a distraction to building their own business. So if you're looking out there for a new home insurance agent of AIL and Globe Life, reach out. You don't deserve this. But for those of you that are representing our industry in a poor way, it's only eventually the time you're going to be exposed. This industry is so highly regulated, even if you get away with it in a short period of time, eventually you will be exposed. You know, the Bible says that even sin, you know, and I'm paraphrasing, that eventually sin, what you do in darkness will eventually come to light. And if there's any sin that evolves, that King Solomon and the areas of concern are around, it's around the areas of recognition, around the areas of money, it's around the titles, around getting certain titles. Because you want to test a man, give him money. If you really want to test a man, give him money and power. And guess what these guys just got tested with? Both of those.
So my takeaway, obviously I'm not from the life insurance industry and I'm not extremely familiar with it. I know like basic kindergarten
but business
information.
Is business though.
Right. Yep. So my biggest takeaway from what you just spoke about is shortcut wins don't last. Whenever you try to take shortcuts in business, that's going to screw people over or, what do they say, rig the system.
Mm-hmm.
You may get some short-form outcome and a small win, but eventually if you're not following the principles that you need to follow in order to have a successful business, that's going to outlast, I guess, the valleys right? Mm-hmm. The fog, the storms. If you're following the incorrect path and not abiding by the principles, you're going to get exposed eventually. And that's when everything just starts imploding from the inside out, and your reputation as a business, as a person, also gets carried down with it.
To balance this out, to continue the rest of the article, absolutely right.
Yeah.
To continue the rest of the article, if you go back to the screen, Globe Life responded to these allegations. He said, we reviewed the report and found it to be widely misleading, mixing anonymous allegations with recycled points pushed by plaintiff law firms to coerce Globe Life into settlements. The short seller analysis by Fuzzy Panda Research mischaracterizes facts and uses unsubstantiated claims, and conjecture to present an overall picture of Globe Life that is deliberately false, misleading, and defamatory. So is the opportunity. So people are wondering, do I buy the dip? Do I stick with this company long-term? A lot of people on The Fly, according to The Fly, their response to this is, serves to assuage concerns, but does not completely remove the vacuum that remains absent a broader communication about this matter with the investment community. So Evercore, we've worked at Evercore before here at PHP. Their opinion says significantly uncertainty for the shares. Guys, there's a lot of solid life insurance companies out there that don't do this riffraff. I'm of the school of thought that if you build your business on the right values and principles, it might take you longer to be successful. The guys that want to cut corners, the guys that want to take shortcuts, will they get ahead faster? Yes, they will. But eventually they get caught. Eventually they get found and their business is no longer. You have to figure out yourself what you want to do. And if you are looking at this, by the way, that's the downside of FOMO, the fear of missing out.
Yeah.
Fear of missing out on what? You know, what are you fear of missing out on what? Because even if you take action on a fear of missing out on something that isn't built on solid foundation, values, and principles and established practices, you're not missing out on anything. Long term, you're going to be much, much further ahead.
Do you think younger people have more FOMO or do you think older people have more FOMO?
I think younger people do. I think younger people have a lot more FOMO. I had FOMO when I was in my 20s, early 30s. I felt FOMO because people were getting involved in real estate and mortgages, and I wasn't. I stuck with the insurance industry, and a lot of these guys got hurt in 07, 09, Great Recession. A lot of these guys got hurt during the pandemic, during the flash crash, but the insurance business, every time, it was just slow and steady. For me, it might be a different scenario for everybody else, but during tough times in our economy, my life insurance and retirement planning business, using fixed and permanent and index life insurance strategies, have stood the test of time. So you got to figure out what you want to do. And you know, the life insurance industry is a very solid industry. So I'm very surprised why these guys slipped through the cracks, but eventually they got found out. So we got some time to take some calls. If you want to,
sure.
You want to queue up? You want to queue up some calls?
Sure.
But this, I want to share this one thing too as well. So can we go to the YouTube video where this former presidential candidate, he's got some pretty interesting thoughts about everybody in America should have. Robbie Wells.
Our birthright should be this. You are born, you deserve a home, and it should be paid for. There should be no taxes. Any debt that you've got should be canceled. You should have free health care. You should have at the highest level. You should have free education at the highest level. And you should have $10,000 per month.
By the way, I know Rico Suave. I was in his podcast a few years ago. What do you guys think of that? Free healthcare at the highest level. Free education at the highest level. $10,000 a month. You should have a free house. No debt. Wow. Sounds great, but very, very misleading. By the way, so attractive, though. What an attractive message. You know, you think about things like that. You think about those type of scenarios. And that's where we can't get caught up. Because eventually, at the end of the day, that message is so seductive. But there's always something attached to something free versus earn.
Yeah.
I'd rather you earn things. Why do you want to earn things, even though it's tough, even though it's difficult, even though it's expensive, even though it's costly? Why should you earn things? Because then you value things. You get things for free. Guess what you don't value? Guess what has more of an upkept community? A community of renters or a community of owners? Guess who got better lawns? Guess who keeps their house maintained? Guess who makes sure their garbage is taken care of? Guess who makes sure that there's less crime in a neighborhood? A community of renters or a community of owners? Why? Why do you ask yourself this question? When's the last time you rented a rental car? And before you turned in a rental car, did you change the oil? Hmm. Did you take it for a car wash? Tell me the truth. Did you hit the gas? need to hit the brakes really hard. Were you dogging out that car? You know why you were doing that? Well, you didn't take care of it because you're renting it.
Yeah.
But if it was yours, it's a baby. Was it pristine, clean all the time? Of course. Why? Because you own it. So what's your thoughts on Big Dog?
You ready?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we want to take a call?
Yeah. So we have three people who want to call in, but whatever we have time for, maybe one or two.
Okay. It's
completely up to you.
Let's take a call.
I'm going to put the first one on speaker.
Sure.
This is all yours, brother. It's for you. Okay. That question's for you. Justin Rodriguez.
Justin, how you doing, buddy? Where are you calling from?
What's up, man? What's up? This is actually Justin Rodriguez. I'm calling from Chicago, man.
Chi-town. By the way, congratulations to Angel Reese of the WNBA. She got drafted from LSU. So now you got a superstar there in Chicago.
We got some good talent over here, man. It's going to be exciting to see him over here.
For sure. For sure. How can we help you, brother?
For sure, man. For sure. I absolutely love the show. Thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to be here. And just got a good question, and I'm interested to hear what you guys have to say about what do you guys feel is a necessity to survive financially for married couples today in a world full of inflation, man? Everything's been crazy in the market, so I'd love to hear your guys' opinion on that.
If you don't mind me asking you, Justin, what do you do for work?
I'm actually in real estate.
You're in real estate? Okay. By the way, how is the real estate market in Chicago, you know, based on everything that's going on in the economy and everything with the NAR settlement, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, so as of right now, the real estate market currently sits, I mean, again, it really is subjective to whoever the real estate agent, loan officer, whoever it might be, but the market's really hot. I mean, there's not a lot of inventory over here in Chicago.
Wow.
So it's caused for a lot of multiple offer situations, even with the higher interest rates.
Yeah.
The CPI report came back higher than expected, so interest rates have shot up over the last week. But even with that, man, it's still multiple offer situations, so it's pretty crazy over here in Chicago.
Well, that's good, bro. What's the hot markets there in Chicago? North side, south side, burbs?
Yeah, I mean, usually the burbs are always going to be hot because after COVID, a lot of people started migrating to the suburbs. So they obviously people working from home, not a lot of people working downtown, which caused people to move to the suburbs. But you're looking southern parts of Chicago, even on north. I mean, I have clients everywhere, man. I got people in the western suburbs. I got people north side and south side. And every single time we've put an offer over the last 2 weeks, it has been multiple offers.
Crazy.
There's been one time where they're just like, okay, yeah. Accepted offer, so it's been a pretty crazy market.
Man, good for you, Justin. So continued success, keep separating yourself from everybody out there. So let me go into answering your question here. So for those of you that are wondering what to do for a married couple to do on their finances, especially in this high inflationary period, the first thing you guys got to do is get on the same page with your spouse. Get even more clarity about what you got to accomplish in the next 1, 3, 5 years. I'm spoiled because my wife and I, we get together constantly because we have business plans, we got business goals, and we were in business together. But for those of you that aren't in business together with your spouse, you may not be working together with your spouse like my wife and I do. Come back to a meeting on a Saturday or a Sunday morning or whatever, on Wednesday night. You have to have a meeting regularly with your wife. For those of you who are dating out there, not married yet, get in the same situation with your potential new spouse, because some potential red flags may come up. And you may not want to deal with this when you are married. We're going to show a clip here in a second. But what happened when a guy got married and his wife got exposed to his savings account? But got to get on the same page. You got to be clear about what you want to accomplish in the next 1, 3, 5, 7 years, 10 years. What it's going to look like in 20 years. What your family's going to look like. What type of citizens you're going to create to make an impact in your community. What type of children you want. Are they going to be in sports? Are they going to be in academics? So you got to figure out what is that family going to look like. The same thing I would do is very clear, be very clear in controlling your income. Because all great financial plans will fail. All investments will fail. All real estate will fail if you drop your income or the income drops you. So if you have a job and that's only your income, you're in the most vulnerable position, financially speaking. If you're a self-employed person, you're a lawyer, and you make your money just by charging legal fees to go to court, you are the most exposed. If you're an insurance guy, you're a real estate guy, if you're a personal trainer like Milton was, if 100% of your income comes from you having to trade time for services or time for products, you are the most financially exposed person in the economy today. So got to get on the capacity to expand your ways of earning income. Do I go from one-man operation to a five-man operation to a 10-man operation? Maybe Justin might want to become a broker, and he wants to recruit agents that work for him because it looks like he needs to do some recruiting.
Correct.
If it's a hot market, do you want to go out there to the river of life and river opportunity with a fishing pole, or do you want to establish fish nets? And you'd establish fish nets by creating a business by scaling from one operation to a 10-man operation. The third thing is save your cash. Don't do any big purchases in terms of, I don't know, and by the way, purchase of invest in real estate. Invest in real estate, especially right now if you feel you can deal with a monthly a mortgage. But big purchases, I put those on pause. Big vacations where you spend tens of thousands on vacations. We've seen people do that. Put those on pause. Guys, I've been to Disneyland and Universal Studios. I can't believe just for me and four kids, it was $3,000 just for us to get through Disneyland with a fast pass. So it's crazy how much it takes for vacation. You have a form of staycation. Create some local memories in some local areas. You know, visit local spots there in the Chicagoland area for a vacation. Get to know what the Chicagoland area, the Midwest, is really all about, where former steel mills and what the stories were of those communities and where some of the hotbeds are. Even on South Loop, there's a lot of history in the South Loop of Chicago. So those are the things I would encourage everybody to do, is keep your money tight, maximize your opportunities, maximize your cash flow, expand your cash flow, be in charge of your income. Why? Whoever's in charge of your income is in control of your life and what you do in your life. So make sure you're in charge and you're in control of that.
Hopefully that answered your question, Mr. Justin Rodriguez. You got time for two more?
We got time for one more. We got time for one more.
All right, fantastic. Here you go. It's directly for you.
Cool. For me? Okay, yep. Cool. So who's this?
Andra,
how are you? Welcome to the 7-Figure Squad podcast. Hi.
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for watching.
I appreciate it. So I'm also from Chicago.
Chi-town.
I currently work in finance in the real estate industry as well. And I know you guys usually talk about all the steps that you need to develop and utilize to make it to the next step. But I was kind of wondering on the opposite side, how do you handle the negative side, the imposter syndrome, especially when more opportunities and success comes into your life? I feel like that usually comes in when you're making the next big step and trying that new venture. So any advice for those making that next step, and how do either of you deal with it?
It'd
be great to give some insight.
Sure, Andrew. Tell me about the imposter syndrome. How do you define that?
The doubts that come up, even if you have the experience and the accomplishments behind it.
Oh, so it's really a self thing. So there's two different types of failure: fear of failing, and then you have fear of success. What do you think you deal with more: fear of failure or fear of success?
Personally, now I think it's more the failure of success.
Interesting. Andrew, you, by the way, you share a very compelling question here, and I want to share my thoughts on this. Thank you, Andrew, for being on the show. Let me answer it. One of the things that a lot of people have, especially Andrew, if you're in a multicultural community and how you're raised, it's all about one thing. You know what that one thing is called? Identity. The self-worth, the self-esteem, the self-confidence that you are worth it. Maybe that might be the imposter that she's dealing with. Am I really deserving of this? And I tell you right now, if you've been busting your tail, if you've been rising up and established on the right values and principles of merit, of you doing your job, of you creating a reputation, you doing what you say you're going to do, and people are elevating you and promoting you, you've earned it. You deserve it. In terms of imposters, well, maybe other people may not think you deserve it. Maybe they may be jealous of your work. Maybe they'd be envious of your work. I'm just telling you right now, if you are being elevated because of your hard work and your genuine nature of doing and following through and doing the job, embrace it. That's you. And by the way, more power to you, more amplification to your success. And think about this too as well. If you continue to rise and it's based on the right values and principles and the right motives, guess what? You're going to be inspiring a lot of other women to rise up to as well with you. You're going to inspire a lot of men to rise up with you, encouraging a lot of other people to see you now as a leader, maybe not been perceived as a leader down, you know, in the past, but now down the road, guess what? You have that opportunity to have that shot. So continued success to you. A couple book recommendations for you to read. Anything on John Maxwell. Anything John Maxwell, great books to read in terms of raising your identity. Anything Les Brown. Read books on identity. He always talks about there's greatness within you, right? And by the way, we just launched a YouTube video of us masterminding with Les Brown backstage at an event that you were a part of called Escape the Matrix. So, Andrew, continued success to you, and I appreciate you calling the 7-Figure Squad podcast. Yeah, cool.
These are good, man.
Yeah, those are very good questions. Very good questions. Let's dispel some myths. Let's wrap up with that, and then maybe if we got time, we'll squeeze in what this quick reaction is of this guy who got his savings spent down. So we're gonna do some myths real quick.
Let's do it. Let's do one quick myth, which is, does 6 meals a day really boost your metabolism? Mm-hmm. You told me in the restaurant that you were once told that in order for you to boost your metabolism or gain the weight that you need,
I've always been skinny.
Right. You needed to eat 6 meals a day.
Yeah, for me to gain weight.
And what was your question to me on that?
Do I need to eat 6 meals a day to gain weight?
The biggest thing that people, the misconception is, let's just say you're trying to gain weight and you need to consume around, 3,000 calories.
By the way, my wife hates when I ask this question.
Why is that?
She's like, you've always been skinny. Don't ever ask that question around me again.
So with this, before I get into what I'm going to say, I want you guys to understand that I do have the sites, I do have the references, and I do have the data to back it up. It's not just an Instagram post type of commentary. This is backed up by science, and it has been debunked multiple times by actual researchers. When people say, I'm going to research, they mean Google. That's not research. Actual research involves a lot of studies, and involves a lot of lab work, and involves a mass amount of people doing the specific task in order to see the outcome for each individual person, to see if it's an actual, if the statement that's being made is factual. Does it work? Does it not work?
Yeah.
So I want to read a couple things. I want to fall into a small 30 second rabbit hole. And then I'm going to tell you guys what to actually look out for to actually attain the outcome that you want when it comes down to your food and your eating. So when multiple physicians were asked, does 6 meals a day actually increase your metabolism? After multiple studies, you can find this on NCBI, on PubMed, on all these researcher websites, they concluded that increasing meal frequencies from 3 to 6 meals per day has no significant effect on 24-hour fat oxidation, but may increase in the desire to eat. The reason why a lot of people push the idea of consuming 6 meals a day, because a lot of these people are bodybuilders. This started in the bodybuilding world. Oh, so okay. Now, if you're in the bodybuilding world and you're consuming, let's just say 3 to 4,000 calories a day, 200-300 grams of protein a day, 300-400 grams of carbs a day, and maybe around 100-200 grams of fats a day. It's going to be extremely hard to break down 4,000 calories, 3,000 calories in just 2 to 3 meals. Extremely hard, because you're going to feel like crap, lethargic, exhausted, and you're going to have stomach issues, which is why they break those meals down amongst 5 to 6 meals, so it's easier to digest and easier to consume. So when it comes down to the bro science fact that eating 6 meals a day actually boosts metabolism, that is completely, completely false. So now let me give you a little bit more science. The premise behind eating smaller and more frequent meals is the control of blood sugar, which is also called blood glucose. This refers to the glucose, a type of sugar that is extracted from the food that we eat. When digestion is complete, glucose is carried by the bloodstream and through the body to supply our cells and organs with energy. When blood glucose levels drop, hunger and cravings spike. By eating 6 meals per day, the thinking goes, you're ensuring that the blood glucose is available at all times. By controlling the trigger for cravings, you'll eat less and you won't be as likely to give in to the siren song of the bag and chips and the chocolate bar. So
we talk about it. I love to talk about it.
People assume, right? The more you eat, the less likely you'll be hungry, so the less you'll indulge. Sure, that makes sense when it comes down to reducing your appetite, because you're eating 6 meals a day, you won't have the room or the desire to eat crappy food versus only eating 2 to 3 times a day. So while the logic is solid, results have been definitely mixed. So final study, 3 studies here back to back, folks. Participants in a study who ate 6 meals show no metabolic advantage over the ones who only ate 3 large meals. What did separate them from the 3-meal group was that they reported higher levels of hunger and an increased desire to consume food. So my suggestion to you and my push to you guys is to stop listening to these Instagram gurus. Now, here are 4 things that you need to keep in mind when it comes down to your metabolism. And for the full in-depth information, I'll drop it in the comment section below, and I'll also have it on my Instagram page. 4 things is, you need to understand energy balance when it comes down to calorie surplus, calorie deficiency, and calorie balance. You need to understand the role of your metabolism, aka your BMR, your physical activity, and how physical activity affects your calorie expenditure, and also what we call in the fitness world and the health world, TEF, thermic effect of food. Because people who consume more protein, their body utilizes, I think, 20 or 30% more of the calories in their body, because it takes a lot more energy to digest the food versus consuming fats. That's why eating high protein diets help you, quote unquote, utilize more energy, or quote unquote, burn fat, because more protein consumption you have, the more energy your body utilizes to digest that protein, which then you use more energy, more calories, and then you, over time you lose more, you know, more weight. Understanding what boosting your metabolism means, when in reality there's no such thing as boosting, but it is such thing as adapting. Your metabolism will adapt based on the environment that you put it in when it comes down to physical activity, your sleep, your rest, and also the food consumption that you consume. And then understanding the final biggest thing is implementing the strategies. And these four I will name out is, in order to be able to implement all this, you need to be able to monitor your caloric intake. You need to be able to increase your physical activity. You need to adjust your diet, not understanding how many calories you're burning, how many calories you're consuming on a daily basis, what your BMR is, and have a consistent review and adjustment every 2-3 weeks, so that way you are able to go on the, you can be on the road to either A, losing the weight that you want to lose, or gaining the muscle that you want to gain. But as far as 6 meals boosting your metabolism, that's complete BS that's been bunked for the last couple of years with actual freaking science.
Good, man. So love this, dispelling these myths, because these can get you to your goals. And especially with the summertime rolling around.
Yeah.
It's the springtime rolling around now. Yeah. So you'll get in shape here by May, June. Let's see if we can squeeze this one last thing in here, Jordan. This husband is befuddled about what his wife did with his savings account. Let's take a look.
When I was 16 years old, I started saving my money.
16.
I still do that till this day, because if something ends up happening, I will have the money to fix it immediately. 6 years ago, I met my wife in college. Around 2 years ago, she found out about my savings account, and that's when things kind of got weird. She tells me that she wants to start saving as well, and I'm like, cool, let's do it. As the months went on, she kept putting into the savings account, and I was putting into the savings account, until last year, when she graduated. When I checked the savings account, I was appalled. Hold on, what's going on? Because when my wife started to put in, there was $223,000. So that means when we started putting in together, it got up to $250,000. But when it got to that, she takes out all of the money and pays off her student loans. I was absolutely dumbfounded. I was flabbergasted. I was appalled at the situation, because I couldn't believe that she would take out all the money without asking me and pay off her student loans. And then she says to me with a straight face, it's our money. What's our money? Out of the $250,000, you might have put in 10. You might have put in 10. I've been saving my money since I was 16 years old.
Oh,
for the last year and a half, I've been garnishing 75% of my wife's paycheck. So am I the a-hole for taking 75% of my wife's money?
No, you're not an a-hole, but you're also a dumbhole for allowing her access to your savings account. You know, there's a conversation you have to have with your wife before you get married. Anybody here, you got to have this conversation with your wife, your spouse, before you get married. And I recommend you set up three accounts, okay? Three accounts. Number one, your account that she don't touch. By the way, if you want her to have access to it, I wouldn't have her access to it. She can see it, but not have access to it. Second one is her account, money she earns at her salary. Do you see it? Sure. But do you have access to it? No. And there's money that you have together, our account. So what you did is you attached her, and for everybody needs to know, if you are attached as a joint account holder on that account, that person not only has access to it, viewing it, but has access to it, withdrawing it. And so 16 years old, he's been saving his money, bro. I'm heartbroken for him. I'm so heartbroken for this guy. And the thing that she robbed him of was the compounding rate of return that money could have made for another 16 years.
Yeah.
And another 10 years after that, another 10 years after that, she robbed him of that because she didn't have a clear conversation with him why she was doing, when she was doing it. She basically, I think, she, in my opinion, she stole from her husband.
Yeah.
And he earned that. He built that before they got married. So in my opinion, it's his. And then it's not ours unless he allows you in it to be ours. But then again, the flip side to that, he added her on as a joint account holder, which makes it ours.
He gave her permission.
He gave her permission.
So in this point in time, maybe not right now in your situation, but if you were in his position, what would you have done after you found out and the money was already gone?
I mean, you're not going to divorce your wife over money.
Yeah.
But garnishing 75%, I mean, let's say she quits her job the next day, right?
Yeah.
Would say she doesn't want to pay you.
Yeah.
Is that going to be an area of contention? Is it going to be an area of conflict? So you've added another layer of complexity into your marriage because there wasn't a clear conversation with your future wife. before that happened. You know, when I got married to Marv, you hear this all the time. We went to the Italian restaurant, clear sheet of a white paper, put down all my money and all my problems. So, babe, going forward, do you want to deal with this? This is what I got. She goes, okay, cool. I got this. She had my back. Same thing with Sheena. She shared with me all her assets, her finances. There's never been an area of lack of clarity with them. Now, we've argued about who should get the money, where should the money go, but there's never been a lack of, okay, is your mind money? There's jealousy, et cetera, when it came to that. But I feel bad for this guy. He did the right thing by saving money. By the way, brother, if you're out there, reach out to me. Let me show you how to get that money back. We need to get you as an entrepreneur. We need to get your own business started. Somehow, some way, man, we need to help accelerate and, or in this case, recoup what you've earned. And if you want to involve your wife into that business and have her earn her keep back, and I just don't think that garnishing 75%, you know, you're not her boss.
Yeah.
You know, you're not, you know, the government.
Yeah.
So I just think it's going to be a bad move going forward. She's going to complain to him about this and this and that. And it's always going to be a area of, hey, you know what? Well, you spent down all of her savings account, blah, blah, blah. You owe me this, you owe me that. It's never be good to be in a relationship where now that she feels she owes him or he feels he owes her. Bad.
I think a lot of people, a lot of men, women too, but a lot of men need direction on how to pick the right women, man.
Oh, my gosh.
I think that's the biggest thing. Clear, concise questioning before you get into any form of relationship. And I think that's one of the areas that I personally struggle with.
You know what? You've inspired me.
Yeah.
I'm going to come up with a video with 10 questions you should ask your girlfriend, your fiance, before getting married.
As an entrepreneur or just as a regular?
As a guy. As a dude.
As a guy in general.
As a dude. As a guy. Whether you have your own business or not. We got a job. We're making 20 grand a year, $10,000 a year, or $1 million a year. Here are 10 questions you should ask. I'm going to come up with 10 questions you should ask your future spouse about money before you ask her to marry you, before you say yes at church.
You make that video, and then you create a template with the 10 questions.
Yes, I will.
And have guys download it, and they can send it out to their prospects. I think that's a great way, man.
I love it.
That's awesome.
Bobby, would that be a value to you? So budget, if you want us to create a budget for you to follow, or in this case, 10 questions for your future spouse. By the way, women should be asking their future husbands these questions too as well, because today, women just are much as ballers in terms of finances as guys can, because hey, this is capitalism, this is entrepreneur, doesn't care if you're young, you're old, you're male, female, who you pray to, who you decide to marry. Opportunities out there for those who decide to take ownership of their situation. So last but not least, guys, if you want to get some merch, we just opened up our store. Go to shop.7figuresquad.com. Shop.7figuresquad.com. If you wanted some merch, we have our Gotcha shirts, Faith Made Millionaire shirts. We have 7-Figure Squad shirts. We have some hats. We got some hoodies. Go check out shop.7figuresquad.com. So with that being said, Milton, appreciate you.
Appreciate
great podcast.
You,
with that being said, subscribe, like, drop your comments below. You agree with us? You don't agree with us? Please put it in the comment section below. With that being said, next Wednesday, we'll see you here. 7-Figure Squad podcast, 12 o'clock Central Standard Time. Tune in again. Continue to live smart. Continue to live smart and be mighty smart today.